is I don't know who's attacking transgender people out there.
That's our Hitler!
Oh, say can you see in the blinkless electron gun eye of the mainstream media mirage that what we hail are the hallucinations of authority and progress and righteousness, whose sweet and stern voices have captivated and conditioned millions of human creatures, stimulated them in passive acceptance of technological disruption and destruction of our environments, of our histories, of the possibilities of alternative ways of being, whose seven stripes are broken swastikas, whose 50 stars are black holes sucking 200 million atomized existences into the daily routine of the human herd of hamsters, rolling the great wheels of the death machine, squeaking at the shocks and nibbling the cheese, and reciting and discussing and delighting in their mutually shared programming history, in their lives, in their cancers, their TV shows, their deaths, their jobs, their ignorance, their endless, pointless foreign creeping, their glorious blind nosedive into their paycheck's pleasures, into an ecstatic emptiness, a glowing incinerator, a parking lot full of businessmen conspiring and colluding on the big dream, the big lie, the big nauseating, screaming, sweating nightmare of business America, media America, corporate America, consumer America, fascist America.
I am Katrina Rose. I'm an attorney, and I'm a transgender legal historian. I'm also someone who actually cares about whether or not transsexual and transgender rights continue to exist in 2006 and beyond. As such, I'd much rather be a trans flake than a trans fake. Yes, welcome to I'd Rather Be a Trans Flake Than a Trans Fake on the Trans FM radio network and elsewhere on the internet, hosted by Katrina Rose. Brought to you this week by age. Why do I say that? Well, let's face it, folks. If you recognized the music I played just a few seconds ago, then you're old. Nevertheless, it proves something that I had espoused as a theorem for a long time, but when I ran across the item from which I was able to lift that music bumper, it proved conclusively that that was not just a theorem, it was a law. And that is, you can find anything on eBay. And I mean anything.
Move forward. Yard, a yard and a half. It'll be second down and eight.
Tonight is Earl Campbell's sixth 100-yard game of the season.
Yeah, and odds are if you recognize Howard Cosell's voice, you're old too.
Just great game.
On second and eight, Campbell just out runs everyone to the right. Look out!
He's gone!
He may
He's
take
gone.
It all the way. Puts his head down. 80-yard touchdown. This is over. What a show this man has put on tonight.
All right.
He ran around the block as Wilson turned on that speed.
Yes, if you recognize Howard Cosell's voice at all, and if you recognize Frank Gifford's pre-Kathy Lee voice, again, you're probably old. And if by chance you can recognize what particular Monday Night Football game that was from, simply from that little clip, that means you're probably old and are probably from Texas. In case you don't know, which I'm guessing most of you out there can't recognize this particular game from that particular call, that was from the Monday Night Football game, November 20th, 1978, Miami Dolphins playing at the Astrodome, playing the Houston Oilers. Actually, it's getting to the point where if you even remember the Houston Oilers, you're old, but that's a different story. A little over 28 years ago, Monday Night Football game, the first year that Earl Campbell was with the Oilers, it was kind of a major turnaround for the team. They'd been kind of sucky for quite a while. So what does all that have to do, and why is it on a trans internet talk show? Well, like I said, this has proven my point that you can find anything on eBay. I was at that Monday Night Football game in 1978. Just by chance, you know, I grew up in Houston, not all that far from the Astrodome. And back then, even relatively speaking, you could get fairly inexpensive tickets to football games. And granted, the place where we sat, it was the end zone bleachers. I think the tickets were like $7 or $8. And granted, 30 years ago, adjust for inflation, you know, it's a little bit more than that, but still relatively inexpensive at the time. And, you know, the stadium was fairly close to home, so it wasn't that big of a problem, even with working parents. You know, you could, particularly if you left a little bit before the end of the game, although that particular game, we stayed right till the very end. If you left a little bit early, or even if you stayed to the end, you could get home after a Monday Night Football game, you know, well before midnight. So it wasn't that big of a deal. But again, I was at that football game, and just think about historical-wise, there were VCRs back then. Betamaxes weren't unheard of, but we definitely did not have one. Was, I guess almost 5 years after that, before I got my first VCR. Again, it was a Beta. But, you know, you see clips of that particular call. And the game itself is simply referred to as the Earl Campbell game. I gained 199 yards, and really the only reason I can remember that is because it wasn't 200. Stopped right short of 200, 199. Four touchdowns, and that was the last one. It was towards the end of the game, broke, you know, for 80 yards, run down the sidelines, and very, very memorable game. That was really the first one where the pom-poms were in play. Let's separate the you know, the gender aspect of that. If you remember Oilers games from the 70s and 80s, pom-poms were a big deal for everybody. But I was at the game. The next day at school, I remember a couple of people telling me, and I don't think they were BSing me, that they said they saw me on the broadcast. Because although the seats we were in, relatively cheap, they were fairly accessible for the camera. They were what were called the East End Zone bleachers, the Astrodome. Basically, under the scoreboard, and, you know, right down on the field, seats that didn't exist for baseball games at the Dome, just bleachers that were thrown up. Crappy seats if the action was going on at the other end of the field, but when the action was going on that end of the field, they were the best possible seats you can imagine. You could very vividly hear what was going on in the field. Almost literally, you could even smell. I mean, your seats were that close to the action. It was great. But again, I'd always heard that, you know, I was visible on TV. Never knew for sure because I'd never seen the game. Seen clips, but never seen it. Well, occasionally over the years, I've looked around to see if I could find copies of it somewhere. It's, you know, you're not going to find actual copies of the actual Monday Night Football broadcast, you know, in these tapes that are put out by NFL Films. You can get, you know, the highlights. And again, the call that you just heard, that last touchdown of the game by Earl Campbell, I'm sure if you follow football at all and seen highlights, you know, of, you know, Hall of Fame running backs, you've seen that run. It's a rather famous one. Okay, maybe even you might have seen the actual video footage from Monday Night from the Monday Night Football broadcast, maybe on one of the Monday Night Football retrospectives. I didn't see all of the one they had last year when they had the final ABC broadcast of it. They might have shown that. I don't know. And it has been, that particular clip, you know, did get broadcast a couple of times in the years after. Gifford, in fact, although, he got to the point where I don't think anybody, he was probably the aspect of Monday Night Football that people liked the least. Cosell, there was always the love-hate thing. You know, he's one of the few people who has ever been voted best and worst in a category in the same year consistently. He was, for several years, he was always voted, you know, most loved and most hated sportscaster. Gifford became just pure schlock. But to his credit, for years, maybe right up to the very end of the ABC version of Monday Night Football, he always said that that particular game, Oilers and Dolphins, November 20th, 78, he said that was the best football game in the history of Monday Night Football. So again, you're probably wondering, what the hell is Cat babbling about? Well, this is a game I was at. Never actually saw the broadcast of it. And occasionally, I would, you know, search around for the actual video of it. And where's a place that you would probably do that? Well, the internet, specifically eBay. And I'm sure you're thinking, well, you know, if this, that wasn't released, actually, you know, it'd probably be a bootleg. And, you know, eBay, they try to avoid having stuff like that on eBay. Well, yeah, eBay does try to avoid having bootleg stuff on there, but just for grins, a couple months ago, I just typed in Houston Oilers, Miami Dolphins, just to see what would pop up, and sure enough, somebody, some very enterprising soul out there, don't know, well, actually, I probably could research the person's name, but I'm not going to, tell what it is, because you don't have to be a lawyer to know that what the person was doing probably was not exactly in line with copyright law. He was offering DVDs of the actual network broadcasts of not just that game, but a lot of them. If I'd had a little bit of extra money to spare, I would have picked up a few more just for grins. Not that I'm that much of a football nut, but even though the guy said that the commercials were out of it, these appear to have been the network feeds, which means there weren't any local commercials, but the national commercials were there. So I was actually able to use one part of the Monday Night Football thing that I bought, the Oilers and Dolphins thing. I was able to use a little bit of it in my class because there was an IBM commercial in that. I think Computers 1978. 1978 commercial touting some of the latest advances in personal computing. Think about it. Just trying to tell my, you know, 18, 19-year-old college students, you know, what sort of advances have been made to allow them to be able to do the types of very, very minor research projects that I'm asking them to do. That, and they got to make fun of the 1970s hairdos. And I'm not talking about this just to be 1,000% self-indulgent. And there's a little bit of self-indulgence there. I mean, let's face it. But I wanted to talk about this particular episode because it has a little bit of relevance. I'm recording this on Monday, December 18th, 2006. Over the weekend, Time Magazine announced its, I'm not even sure Person of the Year is actually accurate because, you know, if you pay attention, by the time you hear this, you'll know what Time Magazine did. They picked you. Not specifically as in YouTube, but basically everybody. people putting themselves on the internet. Odds are, if there had been the type of internet that we know now, back in 1978, I'm sure some enterprising young soul would have almost immediately dumped the entire broadcast of that Monday Night Football game onto the internet. And by, actually, also for historical, you know, purposes and, you know, context, if you're thinking about it, well, 1978, 28 years ago, it was November 20th. 1 week later was a very, very, very important event in GLBT history. November 27th, 1978, that was the day that Harvey Milk and George Moscone were assassinated in San Francisco. And if you happen, you know, if you're old enough and you happen to have been watching the Monday Night Football game that week, you know, there was, you know, some news break-ins about, you know, developments in that story. So this, you know, context here, you know, one, you know, from what I understand of, you know, Harvey Milk's life, he wasn't, he was more into opera probably than Monday Night Football, but in case, you know, he was, that Oiler-Dolphins game, you know, was probably the last Monday Night Football game he ever saw. But, you know, just in terms of, you know, context, 1 week later, big events, GLBT stuff. No YouTube at the time, obviously, which is where I found the clip I'm about to play. If I'd been astute, I probably could have yanked it off of the fake news channel, but I didn't, and somebody posted it on YouTube. Obviously, the video is there with it. This is just audio, and there is actually a bit of a sound glitch in it. About two-thirds or three-fourths of the way through, there looks to be a little bit of a loop in it. For maybe 5 seconds or so, the sound kind of repeats. Just kind of ignore that. And the glitch happens right before the really obnoxious comment that I played at the very, very beginning of the show. That utterance comes from former Republican congressional slug John Kasich, who is now one of the propagandists on the fake news channel. He has a program which I think just runs on the weekends. I'm not sure. It's called Heartland. Excuse me while I throw up. The subject of this particular episode was gender-neutral dorm rooms, non-gender-specific dorm rooms at universities, and of course, it's an issue that goes beyond simply trans students. It's gender issues in general. Nevertheless, the person speaking to the pro-gender non-insanity is someone from Genderpack, who, surprise, surprise, doesn't appear to be a transgendered person. In fact, I took a quick look on their website after, you know, after looking at this, and it was difficult for me to find someone who appeared to be an employee of the organization. Well, I won't mention Ricky by name. I'm assuming that person rakes in good bucks. But I'm not entirely sure that person is capable of saying any of the T words anymore, so that person doesn't count. The other people, well, this was an organization which came into existence because of trans issues, which isn't to demean the issue that this person is talking about, particularly given that, you know, she's having to put up with this, you know, fair and balanced person on a fair and balanced network. Again, let me go barf. But the, you know, the the turd, who's the other guest on here, some college Republican type, who, to be fair, I mean, doesn't even do his side any justice. I mean, I'm sure there are college Republicans out there who could actually sound halfway intelligent on this point. This guy was just a dork. Nevertheless, the significance of this segment, it's 12, 13 minutes or so long, was the particular little utterance from John Kasich that I played at the beginning. I'm going to run the whole thing through, and then we'll listen to, deal with the specifics of that utterance as well as some of the other stuff. So this is the fake news channel's Heartland broadcast of December 16th, 2006. And just an excerpt from it. I'm guessing it's an hour or so program, but this is a 12, 13-minute segment dealing with non-gender-specific college facilities, specifically dorm rooms.
Cohabitation on campus, what is happening? Girls and guys pushing to live together in dorm rooms, sleeping in the same room, sharing bathrooms. It's already the dorm at some American colleges, and many argue this untraditional policy should be adopted across the country. Should young guys and girls be allowed to share dorm rooms? Joining us is the Gender Youth Coordinator with Gender Public Advocacy Coalition, Brittany Hoffman, and the President of Columbia University's College Republicans, Chris Kulawik. Hey, Brittany, come on. I mean, this sounds just completely insane to me. So what we don't want to go from men and women on the same floor. Now we're going to stick them in the same room. So they'd be sleeping together, using the same bathroom. I don't get it.
Well, I have to say, John, that this issue definitely extends beyond men and women sharing a room. The issue is really about safety for and not limited to gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered individuals who don't feel safe being assigned to a room with another same-sex roommate. They want to be able to choose a room that they feel comfortable and safe in, and they should be able to have that option. This is voluntary. Okay. Both students would have to agree to this. It's not like you're showing up blind your first day of class, and you show up and you have a right. male roommate or a female roommate. You have that decision. It's a choice.
Yeah, I got you. How many transgendered students do we have at our colleges and universities that we've got to start changing all these rules?
Well, to be honest, I'm not sure if that number is really important. I think it's important for all students on campus to feel safe. They've earned the right to be there, okay. And I think that changing these policies would be very easy for a lot of colleges and universities in this country to do. I don't think anyone's asking for special rights or to build new dorms.
Okay, gotcha.
I think it's important that they have that option available.
All right, Chris, they don't have a policy that, I mean, I couldn't even imagine that what it would be like if I would have been able to have a girl as a roommate back at Ohio State. You don't have this at Columbia. What do you think about this?
Well, I think it's really interesting, and it's something we don't see in a lot of colleges today. But I'm going to have to disagree with it. If you look at the point, and I think you made a really great point that it was a minority population who could really take benefit from this, that it really opens the door for a slippery slope argument where the main people who are going to use this policy are going to abuse it. And it really defies tradition in many respects. It goes against the status quo and basic gender norms and gender roles. And I think that the majority of 19 and 20-year-olds in this country really aren't in a position in their lives to make a decision like that. So in the end, I don't really think it does benefit on supposedly academic campuses.
You know, Brittany, my taxpayer dollars go to build buildings, provide student aid and everything else. I'm not for boys living with girls in the dormitory. And I got to tell you the truth, if you got a transgender problem, you're going to have a bigger problem than who your roommate is in college. I mean, if you can't get through that, what a mess that is. So for me, I don't know why my tax dollars ought to go to let, you know, boys and girls live together.
Well, fortunately, John, it has little to do really with your tax dollars, because any new policies sort of recognizing gender-neutral housing or gender-blind restrooms or adding gender identity and gender expression protections to non-discrimination policies, this doesn't cost anyone a lot of money. If you're building a new building on campus, fantastic.
I don't want to support a policy at my state universities or any university in my state where a 19-year-old boy and a girl decide they, you know, they want to live together in the dormitory. I mean, I'm just not for that. Why should
we really have to move beyond, I think, this sort of obsession with, you know, heterosexual couples or men and women being able to live in the same room. I think we really have to move on.
All right.
It's an issue about safety.
Okay, first of all, I don't know what safety is. Okay. Chris, I don't know what the safety is. I don't know.
You know, heterosexual couples or men and women being able to live in the same room. I think we really have to move on.
All right.
It's an issue about safety.
Okay, first of all, I don't know what safety is. Okay. Chris, I don't know what the safety is. I don't know who's attacking transgender people out there, but an obsession with heterosexuality on college campuses today, Chris, I think that boys and girls still like each other, don't they, on the college campus?
I would think they're still the majority.
Yeah, and, you know, frankly, my daughter told me she was going to move in with a 19-year-old guy. Guess what? I'm old fogey, I guess. She's coming home. But, hey, you both are very articulate. Thanks for being with us. Coming up,
mostly my lunch.
Because I don't know who's attacking transgender people out there.
You know what? I think I'm going to have to pause for a little bit and run a little bit of music just to not so much cleanse my palate, but clean every pore of my body after hearing that.
Slippery slope.
Doot, doot.
Slippery slope.
Doot, doot.
Slippery slope. Slippery slope. Slippery slope.
Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. They're creepy and they're ooky. They're stupid and they're snoopy. They're all together loopy. The slippery slope cadre. Oh. That wasn't the type of music you were expecting? Okay.
When I woke up this morning, things were looking bad. Seemed like total silence was the only friend I had. A bowl of oatmeal tried to stare me down and won. And it was 12 o'clock before I realized I was having no fun. But fortunately, I have the key to escape reality. And you may see me tonight with an illegal smile. It don't cost very much, but it lasts a long while. Won't you please tell the man I didn't kill anyone? No, I'm just trying to have me some fun. The last time I checked my bankroll, it was getting thin. Sometimes it seems like the bottom is the only place I've been. I chased a rainbow down a one-way street, dead end. And all my friends turned out to be insurance salesmen. But fortunately, I have the key to escape reality. And you may see me tonight with an illegal smile. It don't cost very much, but it lasts a long while. Won't you please tell the man I didn't kill anyone? No, I'm just trying to have me some fun. Well, I sat down in my closet with all my overalls, trying to get away from all the ears inside my walls. I dreamed the police heard everything I thought. What then? Well, I went to court and the judge's name was Hoffman. But fortunately, I have the key to escape reality. And you may see me tonight with an illegal smile. It don't cost very much, but it lasts a long while. Won't you please tell the man I didn't kill anyone? No, I'm just trying to have me some fun. Well done, hot dog bun. My sister's a nun.
Once a Republican slug starts talking about slippery slope, why not just delve right off into child molestation? Yeah, and if you're not familiar with the story behind that Syd Barrett era Pink Floyd song, according to some bits of history about it I've read, Syd Barrett originally wanted the song to be called Let's Roll Another One, which has a rather obvious theme that, for some strange reason, the record company didn't want to go along with. So he changed the words around a little bit, or actually perhaps quite a lot, and for whatever reason the record company didn't figure out what the song was about then, it went from pot smoking to child molestation, from the point of the child molester, in a positive vein.
Yeah.
Oh, and on the subject of molestation, let's talk about trans political viability being molested.
How many transgendered students do we have at our colleges and universities that we've got to start changing all these rules?
Well, to be honest, I'm not sure if that number is really important.
Okay, now, make no mistake, Kasich is a piece of work, as is the little college Republican slug. But I think they're all topped here by this slag from Genderplaque, Let's listen to this again.
How many transgendered students do we have at our colleges and universities that we've got to start changing all these rules?
Well, to be honest, I'm not sure if that number is really important.
Numbers aren't important. Interesting. Well, perhaps an argument could be made that in the context in which she uttered that phrase, those words, that those words could be justified. But this is an organization that is popularly perceived as speaking for transgendered people. As a transsexual woman who is on a college campus, although, strictly speaking, not as I speak, I am at home, but as a transsexual woman who's on a college campus, as a student and an instructor, I find the fact that an organization, again, that has allowed itself to be perceived as speaking for transgendered people, even though I'm not really sure that its big head is really capable of uttering the word anymore, and the fact that it really, truly doesn't seem to give a damn about us. The fact that somebody who goes on the fake news channel to debate this issue could say something like that makes me sick. It fucking matters. It really, really matters. Right now, though, let's take a listen to some other numbers that matter. Numbers which, quite frankly, I was a little bit surprised that they would occur or be allowed to occur in the same context, basically in the same breath as the New Jersey legislative response to Lewis versus Harris. What you're about to hear is a surprisingly tiny and not very vocal, or at least not very volumatic, clip from the floor debate in the New Jersey Assembly on December 14th, 2006.
Yes, bills. Assemblyman Gassiora, why do you rise?
I would like the record on
Senate Bill 362. Madam Clerk.
Senate Bill 362 was brief offer introduction and referred to the Senate Judiciary Committee. The committee reported the bill on November 13th with amendments. On December 11th, the bill was passed in the Senate by a 31-5 vote and received in the Assembly without committee reference.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Assemblyman Gassiora, what's your pleasure?
Yes. Mr. Speaker, I would like to return the bill to second reading for the purpose of amendment. The amendments have been distributed in accordance with the rules. The amendment have laid on the desk for the appropriate amount of time, and I waive the reading of the amendments.
Thank you. All those in favor of moving the bill back to second reading for the purpose of amendment, signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Assemblyman Gassiora, would you move your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the amendment.
Thank you. All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Madam Clerk.
On second reading as amended.
Ready? And it bill.
Motion by Assemblyman Gassiora. Resolved that pursuant to Rule 15:20, the Senate Bill 362 be substituted for Assembly Bill 930, which is identical, and that Assembly members Gassiora, McKee, and Watson, Coleman, and Voss be all joined as co-sponsors of Senate Bill 362.
Thank you. Assemblyman Gassiora.
Mr. Speaker, I move the substitution.
Assemblyman Gassiora moves the substitution. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, nay. The ayes have it. So moved. Madam Clerk.
On third reading and final passage, Senate Bill 362 amends law against discrimination concerning gender identity or expression discrimination.
Thank you. Assemblyman Gussiora.
Mr. Speaker, I move the bill.
Assemblyman Gussiora moves the bill. Seeing no one further, Madam Clerk, open the machine for a vote. Are all recorded who wish to be recorded and properly recorded? Madam Clerk, close the machine and take a tally.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 362 has received 69 votes in affirmative, 5 in the negative, and 6 abstentions.
Thank you. S 362, having received 69 votes in the affirmative, 5 in the negative, with 6 abstentions, I declare the bill passed. Let it take the usual course of passed bills.
Way to frickin' go, New Jersey. And actually, seriously, that's a very, very good thing. In my opinion, 15 years too late. But in all seriousness, not to put a complete downspin on this, I will say that this did surprise me. I had heard talk that Garden State Equality and other folks in New Jersey were going to try to get this done right along with the gay marriage / civil union bill. I, needless to say, was rather cynical about it and thought, this just means it's going to go completely on the back burner forever. This really is, I think, the first instance in which that didn't turn out to be true. Vermont, well, I think we know what happened there. It's over 6 years after civil unions, and we are still unequal to gays in that state. Yeah, there's an attorney general's opinion, but that's not worth squat. The list goes on. And Massachusetts? Yeah, right. Like it's ever going to happen there. But Jersey got it done. At least as I'm speaking right now, the bill hasn't been signed, and actually neither has the civil union bill. But what you just heard was the final action by the assembly, and I'd actually have to go back and take a look. I think it actually had to go back over to the Senate for another vote, because there were some changes to the bill in the assembly. But the mere fact that you didn't hear a whole hell of a lot of debate, really positive or negative, on the floor says a number of things. I'm sure that those supporting the tranny bill and the civil union bill in New Jersey, the official activists there, will put a positive spin on that, saying, this is, New Jersey's great, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which, is true. It tells me, though, that if there's that much support for the bill now, there was that much support a year ago. Maybe 2 years ago. Maybe 5. It says this thing should have happened a long time ago. Why didn't it? Hey, little girl, you tell me. The old street wood.
You came back, and I'm glad you picked my time. You came back, and by that mischievous look in your eye, I'd say before long, if I'm not wrong, you'll be back, you'll come back again.
Feel free to complain about this next one, but don't tell me that I've sold out. Listen to the whole song.
She was more like some fat old whore from a lizard bar. I said, hey, fatso, seen you before at the midnight sun. At the midnight sun,
who would dance on the floor in the round?
He gave me his name as Santa Claus and $50. Said Mrs. Claus was menopause and not much fun.
Who would dance on the floor in the round?
Mama always told me, don't believe in Santa Claus. He's nothing but a dangerous hood. But he promised me presents and a ride in a sleigh if I would just be good and do what he said. Santa Claus, he was my lover. He's just a girl with a big white beard. But the reindeer's kind of weird. I can't handle the beard. But the reindeer was too weird.
shacked up at the North Pole. It was mighty cold. One night I said, Santa, you are old, but I am young.
And I want to get down and boogie around and have a good time with all my friends and get crazy out on the dance floor.
I was naughty and nice. He made a list and he checked it twice.
Checked it twice?
Got pissed off and threw me a punch, but he was drunk. He said, I'll put you back where you come from, you little punk. And we drove down to the corner, Westheimer.
Mama always told me, don't believe in Santa Claus. And he treated me just like she said he would. But he promised me presents and a ride in a sleigh if I would just be good and do what he said. Santa Claus, he was my lover. He's just a girl with a big white beard. But the reindeer's kind of weird. Santa Claus, he was my lover. He's just a girl with a big white beard. But the reindeer's
rubbing my back with his antlers. He's got this weird furry thing that sticks out from his chin. He likes to have scratched. He's got this red nose that lights up every time he gets excited. He's always running around. He shits on the floor. Nobody ever cleans up around the place. Santa Claus is pretty fat and ugly himself. I mean, yeah, he's loaded. He's got lots of money and all kinds of stuff.
Ada police are investigating an alleged gay hate crime that reportedly occurred last Monday night in the 700 block of East 6th Street.
A 20-year-old woman reported that she was walking from her car to her home when she was attacked and held down in her front yard by two unknown males. K10's Andrea Curries joins us now live from the Ardmore Newsroom with more on this story. Andrea?
Jocelyn, the victim claims she didn't know her attackers and was unable to fight them off as they allegedly held her down and carved the word lesbian into her forearm.
Okay, if you listen to my show a lot, you probably know my opinion of hate crimes laws. In general, I think they're a waste of time. They don't actually protect anybody from anything. And there's always, you know, the risk, well, the certainty that conservatives will say, well, it's anti-free speech. It's a mind control. It goes to thought crimes. But there's also the issue, you know, there's also the proof issue. Sometimes there isn't as much proof as really necessary for a criminal conviction. I mean, a lot of times. But there's always the possibility, the little fuzzy area. And one thing I've said is, you know, absent, videotape evidence of the crime, or something like this, carving lesbian, or usually what I'm talking about, I'm discussing trans inclusion in hate crimes laws, you know, carving the word into the person, okay, that's kinda proof, all right? Assuming this isn't one of those, I mean, sadly, it does happen every once in a while when someone fakes a hate crime. I definitely am not making any assumptions about this person. Again, you know, this is from Oklahoma. Don't know anything either way, but you know, it has happened in the past. But assuming that's not the case, what kind of argument could a defendant make that this was not a hate crime? On the other hand, what kind of argument can proponents of hate crime laws make to say that a hate crime law really would have protected this person? Oklahoma's kind of like Texas. It likes to kill people. I mean, the state, the prison system. They like locking people up, killing them. Saying locking them up for, you know, lesser things than murder. If Oklahoma's criminal laws really weren't going to dissuade the attacker here from doing this, a hate crime enhancement on top of it ain't going to. Sorry, I don't want to be a downer after the, you know, New Jersey passage thing, but come on. You know, I want to see whoever did this pay to the max.
20-year-old Sarah Kasparite says after the two men left, she was taken to the hospital by a friend. She says the aide of police think either a razor blade or a box knife was used to cut the word into her arm. The attack sparked a gay rights rally that was held in downtown Ada today at noon. Police say they are carefully investigating the alleged incident.
We want to raise awareness. We want people to know that this is happening even in small towns like Ada.
It's potentially a hate crime. Because of that reason, we have contacted the FBI to come in and take a closer look at the situation.
Kasparite says this isn't the first time something like this has happened in Ada. Activists at the rally say they're singled out every day because of their sexual orientation. Ada police say there are currently no suspects. According to reports, neighbors living next to where the attack occurred didn't hear or see anything suspicious last Monday night. Reporting live in the Ardmore Newsroom, Andrea Curries, K10 News.
Andrea, thank you. Here's our web poll question today. According to the U.S. Department of Education, both the states of Texas and Oklahoma do not have state statutory provisions that protect residents from sexual orientation hate crimes.
Well, that's technically true about Texas. Take a look at the Texas statutes. You won't find orientation, you'll find preference. Yes, that's what the official gay rights establishment in Texas was willing to accept back in 2001, along with no trans inclusion. Hopefully this guy will, whoever the hell, I'm assuming it's a guy, whoever did this will get caught, tried, convicted, sentenced to the max, and have the same types of experiences in prison that members of sexual minorities would have. I mean, let's be blunt, right? But I try to toss this in anytime I can. Don't be seduced by hate crime laws. I don't actively oppose them, but I do think they're a waste of time. Although, having said that, it's always interesting to see the conservative arguments made against them. It really shows the thought process. And on top of that, if there's a hate crime law proposal out there, I damn well want it to be trans inclusive. If it's not, it is in and of itself a hate crime against transgendered people. With that, okay, it was a downer. With that, we are coming to the end of the 60th edition of I'd Rather Be a Trans Flake Than a Trans Fake. I am Katrina Rose, and you've been tuning in to the Trans FM radio network, or perhaps you've been listening to this on a couple of the different podcasting places out there. I know that I'm up on Podomatic. I think I'm on iTunes. I'm not sure. I'm sure some of you are saying, well, you sound like a doofus. Well, Ethan of Trans FM, Ethan St. Pierre, is kind of doing the podcasting stuff. So I've seen the show in a couple of different spots. It's probably up elsewhere too. Thank you for tuning in. I'll be back very, very soon with another edition of I'd Rather Be a Trans Flake Than a Trans Fake. Thank you.